What's it like to be an immigrant in the United States? We're a country that's made up of people whose ancestors came here one way or another, one reason or another, and elected to stay here. What's it like to be a recent immigrant? Tristan Cunningham, born in Haiti, and she and her family moved to California during her teenage years. It took them a while to legally enter the country, but they were patient, and she worked hard to break expectations and accomplish the American dream. She, as a black immigrant female entrepreneur, Tristan Cunningham, launched True Raw Magazine, a digital and print publication in 2018 that aims at featuring underrepresented business owners and brands, inspiring readers to explore the rare sides of life. Delighted to welcome to On the Bookshelf, Tristan Cunningham. Small businesses everywhere are having challenges that they don't normally have to face in times of inflation and so forth, and supply chain issues and all. And I wanted to know if you had any advice for them since you've been doing this for a while.
Absolutely. In the publishing world, as editor of a magazine that I started myself, we are digital. So as far as supply chain issues for us would be more when we have our print version ordered, we are definitely seeing some issues with paper. If you can believe it. And
sure.
Then the pricing obviously being a lot higher. So, you know, when I started the magazine, I really wanted to make sure that, you know, print was still available, as print is very important to me and to so many of our followers and our readers. But I wanted to also be sustainable. I spent about 2 years researching, you know, the availability for print, and I wanted to keep it here in the U.S. as opposed to trying to get it through Europe or China. And finally, we were able to find a great printer in Texas that could fulfill our sustainability needs, which means that, you know, the paper that we get is recycled, and the ink that's used is low VOC, and, you know, we don't use any chlorine, and we really make sure that the print version is truly sustainable. So with inflation and supply chain issues, it's been challenging and things are a little bit more expensive. For example, I was supposed to receive an order last week, and it didn't make it till yesterday. So it kind of posed a problem because I wanted to have it, you know, in hand for an event, and it didn't happen. But you just have to sort of, you know, pivot, make changes, bring older issues to the event, which was fine. And then I received it yesterday. So I think it just makes us more resilient, honestly, to know that we were very used to, especially nowadays, we're very used to getting everything that we want instantly, especially with social media and the internet. So it just kind of makes you more resilient, and it makes me very grateful to not only be able to be the founder and editor-in-chief of a magazine, but also to pivot at times of, you know, supply chain issues and pricing hikes.
That's the kind of information that's really germane to all of our listeners. I would be remiss if I did not mention that you are originally from Haiti, and you and your family moved here. You and your family moved here a little while ago when you were a teenager. And there is a situation at the border that there are a number of Haitians who have been trying to come from their country, where there's still lots of difficulties in Haiti now, aren't there? I mean, with the ongoing recovery from the earthquakes and the and storms and all the other issues that they've had, it's still pretty tough there, right?
Absolutely. You know, again, very grateful at the time that we emigrated here. You know, my parents had applied legally to receive our paperwork through the government, and it took us 9 years to be able to get here legally. We were fortunate enough that both my parents and my family were well off, and, you know, we were able to travel every summer to come to the States or to go to Europe or all over the world and visit, you know, friends and family. But when we finally did get our papers, we were able to move. And my mom's sister, who married an American that was originally from California, met her in Haiti. He was in the Marines, I believe. I believe it was the Marines. And they met and fell in love, and she married him and then moved here. So We always visited California on our summer breaks, which was always very nice.
Yes.
And when it came time for us to actually make the move, my mom wanted us to come here in California because that's where her sister was. My mm-hmm. grandparents were here, and she really didn't want to be in, you know, Miami or New York, which were closer to Haiti and more sort of party towns, if
right.
you will.
yeah, completely.
Because more Haitians were there and things like that. So she wanted us to really focus on our studies and be as close to family as possible. So we had a great opportunity to be able to come here without having to flee all of the negativities that have been part of Haiti's history. Today, it's such a different story for so many, and it really does affect me personally in a very strange way, because you feel helpless, but yeah. at the same time, you try to do the most that you can to help, whether it's fundraisers or, you know, making sure that every opportunity that I have, for example, if I have an opportunity to start a magazine, that I give it my best and I do everything to the fullest, because not a lot of people have those opportunities. So it's kind of a bittersweet sort of story, and it's very, very sad the way that things are in Haiti. We do still have family there that are, you know, thank God, well off. They have businesses, but, you know, it's not easy. And when you hear stories like, I think recently my mom told me there was a boat that had a bunch of people, and they found some of them on like some deserted island. The other ones disappeared, and people that are really just searching for, you know, freedom and a better life for themselves and their families. And we have to just be grateful for what we have and make sure that we really live up to the opportunities that are provided to us.
The magazine is entitled True Raw, and that
True Raw.
And that is a derivation from truly rare.
Exactly. So True Raw is exactly what you said, a derivation from truly rare, and rare in Creole, which is a patois in Haiti that I speak, is raw. So I wanted to stay within the rare name, because a lot of the people that we feature in the magazine, if not all of them, are truly rare, and we want to celebrate that. So Trura is a derivative from truly rare.
I love that. You were not fluent in English when you first came here, but you've worked really hard to become fluent in English. So you speak several languages then.
David, I have to tell you, it was very, 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 very tough when I first moved here, not only to really find my identity, but also, you know, barely speaking a language and understanding, whether it was just plain, simple English or jokes, don't really translate. It was very tough. And I think for a large part of the first, probably about 5 years when we moved here, went straight to high school, skipped two grades, was supposed to go to the seventh grade, ended up going straight to high school, spent the summer in summer school and really, really learning, you know, how to enunciate and you know, sounding the words properly and really trying to lose my accent to make sure that I fit in, which I wish I never did now, obviously. It was tough. It was really tough to sort of find my identity and, you know, not being able to associate with a certain culture because of skin color or vice versa, sort of trying to find my own way and really identify with who I was. So it was tough, but it made me stronger, definitely, and I wish I didn't lose my accent. I do, it kind of twinges of it come out once in a while if I'm talking to family or people with a similar accent.
Sure.
But my husband is originally from Ireland, so sometimes I pick up his accent as well, which makes me a complete mutt. So.
Well, that's very cool. My ancestry is pretty interesting. I'm Irish and from one grandparent, Scots from another, Norwegian from another, and Alsatian from the fourth. I understand completely. My mom was the first generation of her mother's family born in the United States. So the immigrant situation has always been part of us. And we always seem to, after people have been here for a while, they start acting as though immigration is bad. But I think it's wonderful. I'm honored that you came to be in our country.
Oh, and thank you.
somebody had to welcome my peeps in when they got here one way or the other too. And
exactly.
And a lot of people didn't get welcomed when they came in then or now. So
absolutely.
I'm really glad I had a chance to talk to you and to talk about your business and your insight, and want to wish you continued success in the future. And is there anything that people can do to help out the situation with the Haitians? I think there's about 15,000 of them that are on the border hoping to clearance to come in. Is there anything that the rest of us children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren of immigrants can do to help out the newest one?
I think support in any way possible, making sure that we research the correct foundations that are helping these people to come over is probably one of the best things to do. Me personally, I have a few different foundations but there are a few, you know. Sometimes it's just sending over basic necessities that we take for granted ourselves sometimes,
right?
And complain about the water or, you know, silly things that we take for granted. But there are a few to help not only children, but women and especially mothers, single mothers, support in any way possible. And then, like you said, America is a big melting pot. And at one point, a lot of us were in that position in some way or another, maybe not as drastic as we're seeing these days. But we have to remember that and not forget where we came from and remember that we're all brothers and sisters in a way, and we have to support each other and help each other as much as we can.
Absolutely. Tristan Cunningham, our guest today, we're delighted to have you here with us. Thank you so much for becoming one of us and coming from all the fear and all the excitement of coming from one country to another. It's pretty extraordinary. And folks can find out more. Go to trura.com.
Yes, trura.com, or follow us on Instagram and all the social media channels at Trura Magazine. And okay. Trura is spelled T-R-O-O-R-A. Well, thank you so much for having me on. It was such a pleasure and honor.
Perfect. All right. Thanks
a lot.
Thank you,
David.
You take care. I'm Doc Kirby for On the Bookshelf.